titans that will leave you on the edge of your seats. Our main event is a battle for the ages as ASWA heavyweight champion The Mighty Asylum defends his championship against the returning Beast Man. If that excites and energizes you, I have the match for you. Are you ready for the chaos and brutality of the Extreme Rules straight jacket match between Madman Fulton and Manson Crane? Get ready to leap out of your chairs as the Nightmare Nation looks to defend their tag team championships against the former champions. The status symbols will Barry Hardy's betrayal of the ASWA locker room factor into this match. That's not all, my friends. Witness the greatness of 6'9" and oh-so-fine Marcus Scott taking on Cody Whites. Axel Fury looks for retribution after ending his partnership with the status symbols as he takes on GQ Status. Colton Quinn looks to climb back up the ranks as he takes on Sean Blaze, and Kenny Hendricks looks to show Aaron Black what a true pro's pro is. Take advantage of this wild night of pro wrestling on Saturday, February 17th at the Malabar School Gymnasium in Mansfield, Ohio, presented by the ASWA and Snapmare Productions.
I'm losing track of the knobs here, sorry. Because I got to, Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I got to turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who's matches up in front of you?
No, so I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Mr. Samoa Joe?
Put the jack in jackassery.
Shopping cart down a hill.
I'll do it.
I see it
now. I'll do it for free.
I certainly hope so, because I don't have the money to pay you for it.
Well, I mean, you could slide me a buck.
I could.
You cheap bastard.
Wow.
It's like SpongeBob meets Mr. Krabs over here.
You get back and forth places.
I have a disability, I would hope. Aren't you my friend, or aren't you?
I don't want to ignore our dozen of fans. That would be terrible.
Our dozen of fans. I like it. We are humble.
But let's make
no worries exactly
for
the rest of your
days.
Burner barrel. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
What is going on, Buckle Brigade? Welcome to another Off the Wall Thursday with, 2 weeks in a row. It's just me. You know, the guys are a little bit under the weather. What's up, Travis? What's up, Logan? Sorry you guys aren't feeling well, but, I mean, it's cool. Just be, you know, feeling good for Saturday for that little promo you guys saw ahead of the show there before our little nonsense banter. ASWA is returning to the Malabar School Gymnasium in Mansfield, Ohio for Saturday Night Slam. It's looking like a hell of a card. If you are, like, in Mansfield or Mansfield adjacent, I think you should come out and watch it. It's some fine, good, independent professional wrestling, and it's family-friendly, too. I mean, there's a little bit of violence, but it's family-friendly violence. It's okay. It's fine. They have a good time. It's a great show. So come out and see us. Come out and see Madman Fulton, Marcus Scott, the tag team champions, Nightmare Jimmy Lee and JJ DeVille. It's going to be a great night. Hope we can see you guys out there. Also, thank you so much. Once again, we are teaming up with Dubby. Are you tired of feeling sluggish and drained during the day? Are you seeking an energy boost that won't leave you with the jitters or crashes? Look no further than Dubby Energy. Our unique ingredient, coffee fruit cherry extract, provides laser focus and fast reflex effects perfect for gamers and creators. Almost nailed that one this time. Dubby Energy is the superior choice with a carefully selected blend of 10 essential ingredients for focus and concentration, including important amino acids and vitamins you won't find in regular canned energy drinks. Transparency matters, which is why our labels disclose full ingredient amounts, and our products are free from fillers, artificial colors, and dyes. Plus, they're sugar-free, maltodextrin-free, and keto-friendly. I can't believe I get that maltodextrin right every time, but I can't get reflex effects perfect right. I mean, come on now. Don't just take our word for it. Dubby Energy is even mom-approved as America's tastiest gaming energy drink of 2023. Ready to level up your energy? Check out our products on the W Energy website and join the community of those striving to improve. We do have a code down at the in our episode description where you can help us use the code BUCKLE, and we get 10% if you so choose to pay to spend your hard-earned dollar on the wonderfulness that is W Energy. We get 10%. Doesn't sound like a lot, but every little bit helps, guys. But you know what else helps a lot? Hit that follow button. Share us out to your pro wrestling fans. We can't grow without your help. Be completely honest. We try hard, I guess. I mean, we have a good time on this show. We try to not take ourselves too seriously, but like, you know, we're trying to make this podcast into something cool. So, you know, share us with your wrestling friends. That way, even if they want to yell at us, email at us at bucklebrigade@gmail.com. Our brand new email address just for To the Turnbuckle. That way you can reach us. Tell us we're dumb like throughout the week because it's hard to watch us live. It's fine. There's a lot going on in the world right now. There's entertainment choices. You have other things to do. You could still be on your way home from work on a Thursday evening at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, shit, let them know about us, follow us, share us, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Good Pods, all your favorite podcasting apps, you can find us. We post that each and every week, Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Once again, as you can see, we are here live every Thursday, normally 5 to 8 when it's more than just me, but I'm not going to sit here for 3 hours and talk to me about pro wrestling. Like, it's cool. I'm trying to talk to you guys, and I'll try to do better, Deshaun, on checking the chats, but I'm not making any promises. I'm already struggling to look back. But hope you guys check us out. Follow us. Like us. Subscribe to us so you don't miss an edition of To the Turnbuckle. Well, now that we got all that nonsense out of the way, thanks for tuning in. Once again, we are talking some pro wrestling, guys. It's going to be fun. Who watched Dynamite last night or this morning? More than likely, I watched Dynamite last night because, I mean, you've heard my story already, so we won't bore you with that, but because there was nothing to be bored about when it comes to AEW Dynamite. I mean, I took notes. That may be because I have a couch and I can be away from all this technology for more than fucking 5 minutes. One thing I've noticed watching Dax a lot, especially in the singles match, because it stands out a little bit more, he moves really fast for a dude. Like, his steps, like me, I walk fast because my gait is huge because I'm like 6'3", so I use that. But Dax, man, he walks really fast with like smaller steps, like almost toe to like heel to toe, where your toes meet up with the heel of the other foot. Like, and you know, I'm not like ragging on Dax. I think it's perfect for him because it fits his crispness that he has in the ring. Like, everybody seems, I don't know, maybe we've just gotten so used to it, but I don't think he gets his flowers enough about how crisp he really is in that ring. Like, everything he does is so perfect. Like, you can tell why that he idolized Brett. Like, whether you like Brett's never let go and always hold a grudge or what have you, I mean, you can't deny, or if, you know, your only gripe with Brett is he didn't have like drawing power. Well, I mean, he had some. He wasn't Hulk Hogan level, but who was? But he was damn near perfect in the ring. Owen was too. So that their style of always protecting people but making it look good has come through the generations of people that idolized them. Anyway, as I get off that weird heart family fun factoid, I guess we'll call it fun factoid. I'm fucking dying, guys. This was a hell of a brawl, though. Like of course, because we would expect that kind of thing out of Moxley at this point, and Dax, he's a bit of a brawler. I don't think they were giving him enough credit for, like, how technical Dax is. Sorry, guys, at least I remembered to mute myself before I coughed. Like, I don't think he gets enough credit for, like, how technically sound he is. Like I said, his crispness is, it's near perfect, so I don't think he gets enough credit for that. But, man, and he was brawling with Moxley. They didn't really start wrestling until, like, what was it, after the commercial break? Or the, I mean, not the commercial, but the picture in picture. So, and then they really got at it, and Mox was the first one to apply any submission holds, which I thought I found interesting because Dax is always, I know Moxley's been more technical since joining up with Danielson and the rest of the BCC, but I expected Dax to pull out the submission holds, but it really benefited the match, though, because when he finally got the sharpshooter on, I was like, yes, finally, Dax put on a submission hold. What the hell? The finish was fine. I mean, it's Jon Moxley. It doesn't really hurt Dax because he's a tag team guy, so it shouldn't hurt. With the rankings, you can't, if they're going to be considered legitimate, you can't have a tag team fall down in ranking because one of the guys lost in singles competition. Like, that's not how that works. That's a whole different thing. So at the end of the day, Dax won a hell of a matchup for him. He stood out in this match. I mean, it's Dax. Like, we all know who Dax Harwood is, but, like, it's always a treat when you get to see Cash or Dax wrestle one-on-one because it's such a different dynamic and they're still so good at it. It's fucking stupid, but go out of your way. Hopefully you guys watch this or you're going to watch it later, but really good opening brawl that ended up in more brawling. I mean, Moxley won with the Bulldog choke. So he gets the win, further the feud. Cash runs out because Moxley won't let go of the Bulldog choke because he's technically a jerk. And then Claudio comes out, makes the save, hits Cash with the neutralizer. It was wild. It was a good piece of business, I thought. The finish was pretty well wrestled, I thought. Like, the whole segment, missing the headbutt to get caught in the Bulldog choke. Like, because, yeah, they always overplay, I think, the amount that FTR doesn't go to the ropes. They kind of do it a lot, but they're just not very successful at it. But I thought it was really, really well done. Like, great way to kick off Dynamite. I don't know if it's been coined yet, but if it hasn't, I'm coining it now. That last night was American Strong Style to open up AEW Dynamite, as far as I'm concerned. Following that, we had the backstage with that I didn't put on the roadcaster. Probably should have. It's fine. We had the backstage interview with Don Callis, Konosuke Takeshita, and Powerhouse Hobbs. I like where this is going. You kind of, because Ospreay's been gone for so long and you forgot about their little pairing. So I was expecting, like, Takeshita and Powerhouse Hobbs for some weird reason when Don Callis was like, so we searched into the family, and we found that these are the only people that can wrestle us right now. And I'm like, oh, all right. Takeshita and Hobbs, that would be cool. Okay. But then it's Ospreay and Takeshita going one-on-one at Revolution, and this can be the complete, well, not even, yeah, face turn for Ospreay because he has been a heel for a while. But I mean, the AEW faithful love him. That last promo he cut on Dynamite after he signed and asked for everybody's patience while he finished up, you know, some dates in New Japan. And I mean, why, bitch? I mean, he's being a professional. That's perfect. But I mean, I get it. The internet's stupid. So that's gonna be a banger, and Ospreay is probably gonna turn face because why boo him? He can turn heel again later. Like, he doesn't have to be married to the face. Hi, Buster. He doesn't have to be married to the face role forever. Like, you're going to have to want to change and evolve and do things differently and see where it goes and follow the flow of the crowd. So I'm real interested in to see where this goes as far as Ospreay turning face is. I guess, is Ospreay going to eat the loss? Because Takeshita's beaten some powerhouses, so it's not like this is easy prey. for Will Ospreay for his first match in AEW. Like, I don't think he would lose, but there's a part of me that says Takeshita takes the win and you keep this momentum because, yeah, Will Ospreay could be more over. He can get more famous, but his name alone is pretty high up there. We're maybe a screwy finish with Powerhouse Hobbs and Don Callis getting involved to get Takeshita the win isn't the worst idea in the world. I'm not saying I'm voting for it. You guys know me. I love some Will Ospreay. If you've ever listened to this show before, I love me some Will Ospreay. That dude is way too damn good. But yeah, there's a part of me where there's a universe out there where Will Ospreay eats the pin from Takeshita because of Don Callis and completes a face turn and loses his debuting AEW match, which would be huge. Because I don't think that's ever happened with like a debuting star where they come out and they lose. Like, the match is going to be legit. Like, this card is going to be stupid. Like, stupid good. Stupid good. And I'm really, when this got, I perked up. I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be good. Because Takeshita's got it, man. And he just needs a little bit more help, I think. Maybe the Callis family can be a nice, it's helping. Because he doesn't have to go out there and swim with the sharks by himself. It's helping. But, and I know we would all like to see it move faster, but Revolution might be their reset moment, move things forward as far as storylines go. Because, I mean, really, you got to put so much focus on Sting that, I mean, you got to put focus on everything. But, I mean, it's Sting's last match. That's the Revolution card right there. You can almost put anything on before. I'm glad they don't do that. That's fantastic that they set up stories and have matches because, yeah, anybody can say, oh, well, there's no story between Takeshita and Ospreay other than Don Callis saying that no one would wrestle them and blah, 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 blah. But what can come from this match is important. And if you do that at Revolution, you kind of are starting something. You're breaking something new-ish. I don't want to see the Callis family and Ospreay feud for 6 months. Like, that would not be ideal. But it might be a nice way to have Ospreay be a face. He can tag with Chris. They can have the blow-off feud. And Ospreay can go about his business and do other things so he can move into the main event spot and be the number one contender coming into All In. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd be all right with that. That'd be cool. So yeah, that's going to be a banger. I can't wait till Revolution. As we move forward with our review of Dynamite, I love Wardlow. Man, that dude's cool as shit. I've been behind it. I was a fan before he, like, stopped in his truck and talked to me and Jason after Dynamite. Like, I thought that was cool as shit. Like, he did not have to do that. There was no reason for him to do that. Like, we took pictures over by the production trucks, and he stopped by, and, like, we chatted for a minute, and it was cool as shit. So, and I was a fan of his before then. I think this was TNT title run number 2, maybe? I'd have to look. He might not even have been champion, TNT champion yet. It might have been right after the MJF split. I don't remember. But so when I say this, know that I love Wardlow. And maybe this will show it even more. He doesn't need a fucking squash match. What are we doing? It's Wardlow. We all know who he is. He's a 3-time TNT champion. Now, you can say what you want about those title reigns, and they weren't the best, and they dropped the ball on Wardlow. But here's the problem. We didn't forget him. We know who he is. We know how good he is. I don't understand the squash matches. It's not going to get him anywhere. Cool. Barrett Brown got on national television and got a nice paycheck. Cool. That's all. I'm not bitching about that. But that could have been better served for someone else. I don't understand the yeah, let's get Wardlow on TV for 5 minutes. I get it. But there's something missing with what you're doing with squash matches, because we've seen Wardlow in squash matches. It's like if Powerhouse Hobbs, if his next match is a squash match, what are we doing? We know how powerful and devastating Wardlow is. We know how vicious and mean and nasty he can be. Like, he's a jerk. He doesn't need to be last riding people. That drop knee to the face, like, sure, it's to showcase his skills and his moveset, and that new knee to the face as the guy's falling off the turnbuckle, and establish the last ride as his new finisher. But, like, can we not have another one, please? That'd be cool as hell, because I want to see Wardlow in matches with other with established people, because, yeah, sure, the rankings matter, but they should also matter as far as who you have beaten, because that's, and they did, because that's why Swerve was ranked number one and Hangman Page was ranked number two, because Swerve's beat Hangman Page twice. So they've already brought that into the equation. So squash matches serve Wardlow absolutely no purpose whatsoever. I don't understand it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It's fine. We can move forward, hopefully. But put him with something that has some fucking bite to it, man. Come on. Let's get Wardlow over again. Like, I know it's to get him as a face, probably, eventually, but can we not have squash matches the whole time? That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking for. The Wardlow to have some real competition. So that's what we want in AEW. Squash matches are fine to a point, but this is the, third iteration of squash matches? Like, they didn't even have him go up against a whole lot of, like, heavy hitters with his TNT title runs until he lost him. Right, now I'm getting off on a tangent. Let's go back to AEW Dynamite. Actually, let's take a real quick break. We're going to go ahead and we're going to hear about Saturday Night Slam again, because why not? And then we'll talk about that wonderful piece of professional wrestling art that was Daniel Garcia and Adam Copeland.
Are you ready to experience the ultimate showdown in the ring? The ASWA and Snapmare Productions bring to you ASWA Saturday Night Slam, an electrifying night of action-packed professional wrestling. Brace yourself for an epic battle between two titans that will leave you on the edge of your seats. Our main event is a battle for the ages as ASWA heavyweight champion The Mighty Asylum defends his championship against the returning Beastman. If that excites and energizes you, I have the match for you. Are you ready for the chaos and brutality of the Extreme Rules straight jacket match between Madman Fulton and Manson Crane? Get ready to leap out of your chairs as the Nightmare Nation looks to defend their tag team championships against the former champions. The status symbols will Barry Hardy's betrayal of the ASWA locker room factor into this match. That's not all, my friends. Witness the greatness of 6'9" and oh-so-fine Marcus Scott taking on Cody Whites. Axel Fury looks for retribution after ending his partnership with the status symbol as he takes on GQ status. Colton Quinn looks to climb back up the ranks as he takes on Sean Blaze, and Kenny Hendricks looks to show Aaron Black what a true pro's pro is. Take advantage of this wild night of pro wrestling on Saturday, February 17th at the Malabar School Gymnasium in Mansfield, Ohio, presented by the ASWA and Snapmare Productions.
Once again, check us out at ASWA Saturday Night Slam, Malabar School Gymnasium in Mansfield, Ohio. I know it's a big ask. Not a lot of people. Mansfield's cool. I like it out there. So if you're Mansfield adjacent, come check us out as we talk about Dynamite, the rest of AEW Dynamite. Wow, that was terrible. As far as Adam Copeland versus Daniel Garcia, for a chance to wrestle Christian Cage for the TNT Championship at Revolution. Doing the commercial break, I thought something was going to be fishy. Because for whatever reason, I thought this was going to be the main event. Like, it's cool that the Texas Deathmatch was the main event, but I, for whatever reason, I thought this was. So, that's what I was expecting. So, I'm like, oh, we're going to get us something a little fishy here, which is fine, because this worked out great. Right, because I wrote, feel like patriarchy will get involved, and right here during the commercial break. So, I was like, damn it. But it's fine. It's cool. Like, Adam Copeland was mean. He really got into this Daniel Garcia. He wrestled a little extra mean and extra stiff. Like that match he had with Sheamus before he came over to AEW. It was stiff. It was hard hitting. He was throwing some bows on Daniel Garcia, who just kept fighting and kept fighting and kept fighting. That arm ripper thing that he did, like, when he had Daniel Garcia in the corner, and he arm whipped him, and he went face first right into the canvas. Like, that shit was vicious, man. Edge was on a tear last night. It's like he went right with the tide of the crowd and trying to help get support for Daniel Garcia. Like, that's why you have veterans in your company. That's how that shit works. Like, it's fantastic. Because, like, what do you do? You can't, it's hard to get people invested. Especially in this day and age where we have, like, such short attention spans and we want everything right now, right now, right now, right now. Like, it's so hard, and this is what veterans are for. I don't know if someone without Adam Copeland's experience would have called it. Like, maybe they talked about how they were going to wrestle, but, like, Adam Copeland got cheered. Daniel Garcia got cheered. Daniel Garcia cheers were a little bit louder. Then there were dual cheers. Like, it was a very great way to establish Daniel Garcia. And Tony told us at the beginning of the year, and he's say what you will about some of his booking. To me, it's fine. He's name me one pro wrestling company ever that's even close to what they've been able to do without bumps in the road. Hell. There's a company that's had bumps in the road recently. WWE has had bumps in the road for decades. And yeah, we can bitch about it, but when you want another company to go under, then we're just taking it too far. We can, you know, have constructive criticism. But, yeah, we just call another wrestling company pathetic because it's going to get clicks and listens on your fucking podcast, Eric Bischoff. Love the Jim Cornette style of podcasting. That's great. Love it. It's my favorite. So I'm not going to listen to him anymore. Just not going to. I'm not mad at him, but, I mean, if that's the way you're going to go, man, I ain't got time for that shit. Everything's so negative all the time. All the time. Back to Adam Copeland and Daniel Garcia for the right to wrestle the father of the patriarchy, Christian Cage. The right to wrestle him. The right. It is a privilege to step into the ring with the leader, the father, if you will, of Christian Cage. And Wayne was... We'll get to it. But I loved the dueling chants. I really do. I love that the dance is finally incorporated into a move. That was great when he did that double knee stomp but danced before it. And I want to know, was he already thinking about that? Or was he learning when Tommy asked him on Busted Open, like, was talking about, you know, all the great guys, they have something where it ties into everything else. And was he planning that already? Or was he learning on an interview on a podcast? Because Tommy Dreamer's a fucking veteran and a legend in this business. I just want to know. Either way is fine with me, but I would find that incredibly impressive from any wrestler to, like, he's right. How do I work that in there? And then you go talk to Edge. How do I work my dance in there? And then they talk about it like, oh, and I'm sorry, Adam Copeland. I still do that when I get excited. So all in all, great. Just that, and it started really focusing on the leg of Adam Copeland. This match was great. And that the reverse dragon screw and then the dragon screw off the ropes, he did that. That leg breaker, that was vicious as hell. Like, Daniel Garcia was giving it as much as Adam Copeland was giving it to Daniel Garcia. Garcia was giving it right back. This dude's about to be a star. That Cope took that Wayne's World like it was the last thing he was ever going to do. That shit was stupid good, and I don't think the Mother Wayne low blow, that was when she did that, that was so well timed. This was a great piece of business. It's she's gotten better. Everybody wanted to bitch and moan. Like, it takes time to get good at this shit. So, and whether you've been doing it on the indies and TV are two different things. Drastically different things. If you can have been in the independent wrestling scene for 25 fucking years, you get on TV, it's a totally different experience. It's a totally different process. You have to play to not just the crowd at home or crowd in the arena, but like everybody at home. Like, goddamn, like, can we let people have some mulligans? That'd be cool. It's fine. But really, I mean, a good piece of pro wrestling art and business, as far as I'm concerned. But I think this makes, and damn it, and I wrote this down so I didn't hear it anywhere else. I wrote it down right here. Here's proof. I wrote it. I think this Garcia is going to end up getting the title shot at Revolution. His Edge took the concerto. He's got to sell it. And it's Adam Copeland, and I did the Edge thing again. It's Adam Copeland. And so he's going to sell it. Sell it well. He's not going to want to shit all over the whole thing. So what's he going to do? He's going to step back. Daniel Garcia is going to get the shot. Probably not going to win, but Daniel Garcia is going to be able to get the shot because Adam Copeland is hurt. It's a great piece of business. We can go to Adam Copeland and Christian Cage a little bit later towards the summer. Maybe you have their blow off at All In. And this gives us time to get there. Christian's doing fantastic work. Adam Copeland's doing great work. Daniel Garcia's becoming a star. Like, they're doing exactly what you're supposed to as a veteran. They are getting people reps over. They're getting them known when Luchasaurus finally turns on Christian Cage. It's going to be epic. When Daniel Garcia finally gets a championship, be it the TNT championship or international championship or continental championship, you know, all the championships, the crowd is going to erupt because he's like their chosen one at this point as far as young guys that the crowd is invested in. Swerve, they're invested in Swerve. They're invested in Garcia. They're invested in what Adam Copeland's doing. Like, they're invested overall, but, like, what I've noticed over the past few weeks is, like, the Daniel Garcia and the Swerve Strickland love and support from the AEW audience is palpable. And I'm not saying they need to go out and win titles because I don't know. I don't know what you do with this triple threat match, damn it, other than have Hangman Page and Swerve basically cancel each other out and screw the other one by Samoa getting too worried about their personal feud and Samoa Joe taking advantage of it. Speaking of that, I went ahead and did a little bit of recording here. So we're gonna listen to some of this here promo promo segment that involved Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, and Adam Hangman Page.
My name is Samoa Joe, and I stand here proudly, your
AEW World Champion. But you see, tonight I come here with the spirit of apology. You see, when I became champion, I reenacted a ranking system to ensure that only the very best victims were served up in front of me for me to destroy and continue my championship reign. And everything was going so well until last week when Hangman Adam Page and Swerve Strickland came out here, battled tooth and nail for 30 minutes to a draw. Now, somehow, some way, I thought our championship committee, they'd kick them to the back of the line, but no. You see, they took a page out of the Texas playbook, and they made my match bigger and dumber. You see, we reward mediocrity around here, and instead of telling these pretenders they don't belong in a ring with me, no, now at Revolution, I find myself in a three-way match. Obviously, a crime has been committed against me, and now there must be repercussions. So I guarantee you this. You send your two bright stars into the ring with me, and I guarantee I am hurting one, if not both of them. They may walk in, but I guarantee they will both limp out. Because I am Samoa Joe. I stand here, the AEW World Champion, and there is nothing anyone can do about that.
That was Samoa Joe right there talking about, he is so mad. It was fantastic. I love Samoa Joe. He is so great. That's why I'm so torn. I love all three of these guys. It's like Joe has done, he has earned the opportunity to have a good title reign. I think he's having a great reign just by, with the promos he's given and handing out certain matches. Like he kind of put Hook on the map. That was the biggest match that Hook's ever been involved in. And he hung with Samoa Joe. Let's see what else we can do. He said, I'm going to be upset if Swerve Strickland doesn't win. I'm not going to be mad. I want my guy to be the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. But Joe's one of my guys, too. And so is Adam Hangman Page. So I'm going to be upset, but I'm not going to be mad. I understand. Like I said, I think I said it last week. It would be so poetic if 2 years to the pay-per-view that Swerve Strickland walked into the company, that he would win the World Heavyweight Championship. But then does that hurt the title reign that Samoa Joe had? Could it be considered a transitional run because he only had two defenses and he lost the second one? Like, there's a lot of ways to go with this. I don't think there's an awesome decision. There's a cool decision. And there's the right one. And the right one's kind of a combination of both, where it's probably Paige and Swerve's personal issues cancel each other out and give Samoa Joe the chance to sneak up on one of them with the Coquina Clutch and take it out. Speaking of personal issues. Oh, yeah, I might dance.
One of the two men that will challenge Samoa Joe for the AEW World Championship at Revolution.
You know what? I get Samoa Joe's anger here. I understand it, but I think it's for the best after what we have seen transpire over the last few weeks. The three-way match I'm talking about.
Taz, think back to the end of last year, the Continental Classic. Swerve Strickland was as hot as anybody. Unfortunately,
I can't help it. I can't help but dance when I hear the song. I actually recorded extra just to have the song, even if I get copyright. I don't care. Sorry, Tony. Sorry, Swerve. But I love you, buddy. Can't help it.
Joe. I promise you that. Joe, when we started this whole thing, like I said, this wasn't supposed to be personal, right? But as we inch closer and closer to Revolution, and the more that you run your mouth, I can't help but get the feeling it's becoming personal. Joe, when you won the AEW title, you said that. You said the new championship protocol, you show up with your reputation and you show up with your resume. Yeah, yeah. You also said that hunger is what defines the greats. Well, if you look at me, I'm on my way to becoming one of the greatest of all time. No one out hustles me. No one outworks me, and no one outgrinds me. So you need to check my resume, and while you at it, you should proceed to put some respect on it as well. 15 years, Joe, I've been grinding up and down this industry, all in the hopes of the potential one day somebody looks at Swerve and they say, you know what, man, one day, maybe Swerve, you might go down as one of the best in the world currently. Yeah. Maybe one day. And after this year, I've proven exactly that. Today is that day. Gone toe-to-toe with former world champions, and I've gone toe-to-toe with some of the best legends that AEW has to offer. And the same thing, the same result, every time I'm the one left standing, and these people walk away, only one thing on their mind, and it's a phrase of, whose house? And at Revolution, nothing changes. Except for one difference is the fact that I will be holding that above my head. Hold on!
Swerve's response was utterly fantastic. Exactly the way his character's been presented, and the AEW crowd and faithful have responded in kind. They have chosen Swerve Strickland. That's why it wouldn't be a terrible decision to strap the belt around Swerve Strickland's waist. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to Whose House. I can't help but go Swerve's house. Like, I can't help it. It's like the bloodline people. I can't help it. And they're ones. It's fine. You guys are cool. It's fine. But one hell of a response from Swerve Strickland. He made a lot of very valid points that Samoa Joe is bitching and complaining about. And Joe, it's fair to bitch about the triple threat match, I guess. It's just how it works. You can blame Adam Hangman Page for that, but like any good heel, he's not gonna take any blame whatsoever, because it is not his fault. I mean, just listen to him.
Okay, hey, first, I want to set the record straight about something last week, okay? After last week's match, I wasn't mad, okay? I wasn't mad. So when you write your weekly Dynamite reports, don't say that I was mad, but I think that everybody knows that last week was horseshit. Because I signed a contract for a match to determine the number one contender to the world championship. And the winner of that match
became the number one contender. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He had 30 minutes, and he couldn't do it. So if this were up to me, Joe, if this were up to me at Revolution, the match would be between two men who value and respect that championship and everything that it stands for. But unfortunately, I don't make the matches. And Swerve, it looks like you have been added to this match. So I need to say something to you. I need you to look me in the eyes. I need you to hear it.
We need to do this again? We need to do this again, huh?
After everything that you have done to me, you don't deserve 1 second of my time. You don't deserve for me to give you 5 more minutes because you couldn't get the job done. And you Swerve, you do not deserve to be in this championship match.
It's too late.
Hey, whoa, no, y'all can back up. Knock off your little charade here. Hey, listen, this walking domestic dispute, it ends tonight. I know what this is about. You think you're gonna beat your man over there and skip over me? Not gonna happen. You think you're gonna beat him and not pin me in that ring, take my championship? Not gonna happen. As far as you both concerned, I'm Samoa Joe, and come Revolution, I'm whipping both your asses.
And that's what I mean by saying that Samoa Joe is absolutely fantastic and that Adam Page took no blame in anything. He said that Swerve doesn't deserve 5 more minutes. Well, I mean, he kind of beat you. Yeah, he did some very dastardly things, but I guess, you know, we love him for it. Can't help it. Sorry, buddy. It's fine. You'll be all right. It's going to be great. I love where they're going with this Adam Page. It's... Next week, they did book the most random of random six-man tags because Swerve's tagging with Brian Cage, with that, which that makes sense. But then you got Samoa Joe. Swerve's like the fan-chosen face, and Adam Page is with RVD and Hook. I'm assuming this will be the final turn of the page for the Hangman to go ahead and be a full-fledged heel. I think I nailed that. That seemed all right. That just rolled off the top of my head for once. How about that? You know why, though? It's because I got unlimited. I mean, okay, not unlimited energy, but nice no-crash energy from none other than Dubby. Are you tired of feeling sluggish and drained during the day? Are you seeking an energy boost that won't leave you with the jitters or crashes? Look no further than Dubby Energy. Our unique ingredient, coffee fruit cherry extract, provides laser focus and fast reflex effects perfect for gamers and creators. Dubby Energy is the superior choice with a carefully selected blend of 10 essential ingredients for focus and concentration, including important amino acids and vitamins you won't find in regular canned energy drinks. Transparency matters to us, which is why our labels disclose full ingredient amounts, and our products are free from fillers, artificial colors, and dyes. Plus, they're sugar-free, maltodextrin-free, and keto-friendly. With a variety of clean and delicious energy drinks, including flavors like Calio Cream, Push and Punch, and Galaxy Grenade, Dubby Energy has something for everyone. Don't just take our word for it. Dubby Energy is even mom-approved. As America's tastiest gaming energy drink of 2023. Ready to level up your energy? Check out our products on the Dubby Energy website and join the community of those striving to improve. I think that was the best read I did on that one so far. We do have a link at the bottom of the episode description taking you right to Dubby Energy, where you can peruse their selection of nice, clean, non-crashy energy and use the code BUCKLE. That's BUCKL. Very simple, guys. We get a 10% cut of your purchase. You get 10% off. So what you save, we get. I mean, that's... So you really, if you decide to spend your hard-earned money at Dubby and you save a little bit of cash, and that savings is passed from the Dubby people onto your friends here at To the Turnbuckle. Like, I don't consider that a bad deal. So go ahead, check them out. Like I said, hard-earned money. You don't have to spend money there, but just go check them out. I enjoy a lot of Dubby. I got some new flavors coming in. It's going to be cool. I mean, they're for my personal use. I'm not trying to, like, ship nothing out. That shit's crazy. But check them out. Also, check us out, Snapmare Productions. More importantly, ASWA will be out at the Malabar School Gymnasium this Saturday, February 17th, for Saturday Night Slam. It's going to be great, guys. There's a straight Extreme Rules straight jacket match going on. Marcus Scott's going to be in action. The tag team champions, Jimmy Lee, JJ DeVille, Status Symbols, Random Pain, and the Bouncer will be trying to get their tag team titles back. Barry Hardy went on the side of the Status Symbols. It's crazy. It's wild. If you've watched us, because we do post the shows on YouTube, so if you've been keeping up with Snapmare Productions and the ASWA, you know, just kind of filling you in on what's been going on, but it's going to be a hell of a show. If you're in Mansfield or Mansfield adjacent, check us out, because it's a good. I mean, that was fucking terrible. It's a fucking fantastic night of pro wrestling. Each and every time that they appear in the Malabar School Gymnasium. Now back to our AEW Dynamite review with Timeless Tony Storm's newest film, Wet Ink. This was utterly fantastic, and I am, you know, I've been a huge fan of Tony Storm for a long time. I agree with a lot of other people that this is the best work she's ever done, and that is not like a jab at what she's done in the past, but she has put everything together and has come up with a fantastic character, and the dedication to the role to go ahead and modify your body with a tattoo of that special tattoo, that was legit. Like, everything, there's nothing to not like about Timeless Toni Storm. She took all of the great things, like a Gold Dust style, because when Gold Dust came, like, after a while, it was like Shattered Dreams Productions. Like, it was a whole thing. So, like, she's taken bits and pieces from, you know, the black and white films on how she presents herself and carries herself and who she says she really is. And she combines that with the wild shit that she be doing. And because that promo on Collision was fucking ridiculous. But really liking the work. Loved the work of what Toni Storm is doing. I think it's going to do a lot for Deonna Purrazzo at Revolution. She could barely speak. She was speechless after the debut of Wet Ink from Timeless Toni Storm. You know what wasn't wet, though? That dried blood. I don't think that was a good transition. That was fucking terrible. Matthew and Nicholas Jackson arrived at the arena with the white suits from last week, just like on Collision on Saturday, and I like it. I like the bloody suits. Like that they wear them over and over again. I think it's funny. It doesn't mean they're not getting them cleaned somehow, I'm sure. Like, you don't have to use a stain fighter. You can just wash the bitches. You don't have to use bleach. I mean, that's not how you take care of suits like that, I'm sure. But, I mean, you're not looking at a guy that walks around in suits. So, I'm assuming dry cleaned. But hey, make sure that stain stays there, or they just have to re-add it every time, which would be kind of funny, because then all the blood stains will be in different places, so that would be kind of funny. But, you know, to each their own, but I'm digging it. I love the new characters of the Young Bucks, finally. Like, it says a lot about how important characters are in professional wrestling, because I've never been shy about how good I think the Young Bucks are, but they've never really had a character that spoke to me, like, that I could, I don't relate to that character, but I'm like, oh, all right,
They didn't have five-star matches all day. But, man, now I'm invested in what the Young Bucks are doing. Before, I was invested in the Young Bucks partners. Or, not partners, but opponents. And now I'm invested in the Young Bucks, what they're going to do next. What kind of asshole shit are they about to pull off this time? Top Flight stood out, like they always fucking do. What was it? Darius did like a guillotine Pele kick that was out of the corner. I don't remember which Jackson he did it to, Matthew or Nicholas. I'm trying to be respectful. I don't know how far their power reaches. I don't want to get fined. And they were battling on the outside of the ring, the other thing that really, and I know I noticed weird things, but like that double backflip slide to get that Top Flight did to get back in the ring and then did the planches, double planches after. Like, the timing on that was stupid, ridiculous. Like, that was great. Matthew Jackson with the fake out with the super kick and that spike DDT, that was vicious as hell. But I'll tell you, when they distracted the referee so we could get to see a pop-up nut shot, like, I've never seen that before, ever. You don't get to say that a lot in wrestling. Now, of course, I mean, it's a ball shot. But you can be creative about it. It's fine. I hope that stays in their moveset. Distract the ref. They could do it in Revolution and have no consequences or repercussions because it's a tornado tag match. Pretty sure there's no disqualifications in those. So, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be part of their moveset. It's going to be awesome. That, I've never seen a pop-up low blow before. That was legit as hell. Oh, where's the rundown? There it is. Found it. Then we had pretty good showing by Willow Nightingale and Sky Blue. They had a fucking banger, and I'm really liking Stokely Hathaway's reactions to Willow. Like, he always wanted to manage Chris Statlander, but it seems Willow was coming with her whether he liked it or not, and he's starting to grow. Willow's starting to grow on him, which I think is fantastic. Willow's a great talent, and when Willow and Chris, a couple years down the road, decide to turn heel or vice versa, you know, one of them turns on the other in this storyline, it's going to be really good for them. Willow Nightingale really stood out in this match against Sky Blue, and Sky Blue did too. Sky Blue was hanging right in there with Willow Nightingale. I like that people aren't around the ring as much anymore. Like, it's kind of nice where they're just going at it one-on-one or in tags or whatever. But, like, I'm kind of enjoying that because Julia Hart came out. But, like, when the entrance was over, she didn't go down the ramp. She just sent Sky Blue on her way. And Sky Blue has matured right in front of her eyes, just like Willow Nightingale, just like Julia Hart. It's everything is working right now. Your mileage may vary on some of the stuff that AEW is doing, but there's parts that are clicking, and you just gotta be patient. There are things to seek your teeth into with AEW, just like WWE. There's stuff to seek your teeth into. I'm digging the qualifying matches because they've been bangers. I'm liking the story they're telling with the Cody and the Rock, and we'll get into that in a little bit. We'll talk about the Texas Deathmatch, hit running the ropes, talk about the Cody Seth promo, and probably get the hell out of here because I'm not gonna. We had this discussion last week. I'm not gonna sit here for 3 hours. I mean, I don't have a press conference excuse this time, but I have things to do excuse this time. Not really, because I usually do this for 3 hours, but it's. We'll figure this out. We'll get there. We just don't want to listen to me talk about this shit for 3 hours. I'm sure that would be crazy, probably. Maybe if we had more fan participation, but that's probably on me because I haven't checked the chats for a while. Speaking of fan participation, since I mentioned it, don't forget to reach out to us during the week if you can't catch us live at bucklebrigade@gmail.com. Your hot takes, your predictions, your what needs fixed. I don't care what the opinions are. You'll get right on the show. I mean, if they're like nasty and mean and fucked up, I'm not reading your shit. I'm not. But if it's real, like, fun pro wrestling conversations, because that's what we want here, right? Like, this is like, we want this to be where you're feel like you're sitting around with your friends kind of talking about wrestling. So email us at bucklebrigade@gmail.com. We'll read your comments and talk about your comments, and we tell them if we can say if we think you're crazy or if you're spot on, and feel free to tell us if we're crazy or if we're spot on at bucklebrigade@gmail.com. All right, nice little plug there. And then we have the Texas death match between Orange Cassidy and Matt Taven. Dear Lord, if blood is not your thing, don't skip it, but watch it in black and white. You can do that on these smart TVs, right? Probably. There's probably a setting somewhere. Yeah, watch it in black and white. You'll be fine. We need that setting. Let's find that setting. Because this was one hell of a match. I mean, tables and thumbtacks and chairs. Oh, my. Doesn't even begin to explain the absolute devastation that these two put each other through. And can we have more Matt Taven, please? Dude is utterly fantastic. You forget how good he is because you don't get to see him on national television all the time in a singles match because he's in a tag team and the Ring of Honor tag team champions. So this was fantastic. I get why you're doing it. Fits people, I'm sure, but I stay off a lot of the social medias. I mean, I share out the shows and shit like that, but I'm sure people are, why this doesn't even make sense. Why would, like, this is why they had Roderick Strong wait until the premium live event. I mean, think you get a bigger paycheck for one. I mean, that's in kayfabe. That's the, and you do, you tend to make more money at premium live events. It's more people, more tickets. Tickets are more expensive. There's the pay-per-view buys. I mean, there's more ways to fill the money pot on the pay-per-views. But like, it's smart to call your shot as a heel and put all these barriers in the way to get there, but like, it's the reverse heel champion. The heel champion puts barriers in the face's way to get that title shot at Revolution, right? Well, this is the inverse of that. Roderick Strong called his shot. He got the title shot already, but he's putting all these roadblocks in front of Orange Cassidy because he knows Orange Cassidy can't help but say yes or give a little thumbs up when someone wants to wrestle him. He'll wrestle anybody, anytime, anywhere, and that's what makes Orange Cassidy fantastic, and he has really shown how good he is, too, and how far this Orange Cassidy character has come. I like that Matt Taven did his best to, like, negate some of what Orange Cassidy does. I didn't even think of it all this time that I've been watching Orange Cassidy and enjoying his work, like, and all these matches that he's had with all these people, like, I don't recall anybody ripping his pockets. That's half of his taunts right there. That's half the shit that he does to piss people off and throw them off their game, is putting his hands in those pockets, kicking up with his hands in those pockets, delivering arm drags with his hands in those pockets. And Matt Taven said, I'm done with this shit. And he ripped those pockets off, man. I mean, that was smart. Let's see if more people try to use that. Is Orange Cassidy going to have reinforced pockets? That's the question. Is Orange Cassidy going to have to reinforce his pockets now because of what happened against Matt Taven? See, it's the little things and the stupid shit that I really think about, probably because I took too many shots to the head. Fantastic Texas death match. Orange Cassidy was bloody. He dropped the thumbtacks out of the heart-shaped box. That didn't work out well for him at first. Matt Taven went and he dove on the tacks. Can't believe they built a giant wooden heart and busted it over the head of Orange Cassidy. Like, that was legit as hell. Superman punch with the chain. Like, this was a good piece of violent pro wrestling right here. If you like violent pro wrestling, this is for you. If you don't like violent pro wrestling, watch it in black and white. Yeah, because it's a really good match. But if you're a bit squeamish, like my buddy Travi, then watch it in black and white. You'll enjoy it, probably.
let me know at bucklebrigade@gmail.com what you thought of AEW Dynamite. Don't forget, reach out on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you'd like, at To The Buckle. Use the hashtag Buckle Brigade. Let's get that trending eventually, maybe. I'm sure the dozen and dozens, the dozen of fans that we have here at To The Turnbuckle will help us out and get it trending. Buckle Brigade, hashtag Buckle Brigade. And we'll continue the conversation offline, guys. We're going to move right along to Run of the Ropes. But not right along, just kidding. We're actually going to hear about our other partners in pro wrestling broadcasting and powers in fitness, WrestleFit, about the brand new wave of fitness coming. Well, already, it's already here.
Then look no further, my friends. WrestleFit Junior is exactly what you're looking for. Certified personal trainer and pro wrestler Superman Onyx will treat your mini you to a fitness program like no other. With exercises like running the ropes to tire flips and combining healthy eating habits and personal accountability, your child will earn the conditioning of a pro wrestler without the bumps. Stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio 43004, or visit WrestleFitJr.com on Facebook for class schedules and book an appointment today.
All right, hopefully I timed that fine. Maybe. We'll find out, I guess. You can yell at me if I screwed it up. It's cool. It's fine. We got this. Ready for Run on the Ropes? Because I'm ready for Run on the Ropes. Our first topic on Run on the Ropes. After speculating earlier this week that Drew McIntyre signed a new contract with WWE, PW insiders learned that the deal isn't signed yet, so negotiations could still break down. Their latest report does say both sides want to get a deal done, and WWE is operating under the assumption that McIntyre will be around long term. Why not? I mean, he's probably comfortable. It's fine. This is some of the best work I think he's ever done, honestly. This is the best Drew McIntyre I've ever seen. I'm not shitting on anything that Drew McIntyre has done. He did his best in 3MB. He did his best as the chosen one. I mean, he's had a long, hard, rewarding, I'm sure, journey. And now maybe he finally gets that title win at WrestleMania. Because I'm assuming he's going to wrestle Seth Rollins in front of people. And they might boo him. But it's fine. That's just as good as getting cheered. I mean, in pro wrestling, it's just as good. If that's what you're supposed to do, it's just as good. And I'm here for it. I love this thing. This version of Drew. And he tells no lies. When he speaks, he's telling the truth. He is telling you what you don't want to believe about your favorites. I mean, he supports Cody, kind of, until he gets in his way and stuff. But, like, yeah, I'm all here for it. Hopefully they get a deal done. Like, would I be upset if he went to AEW? No, but I also won't be upset if he stays with WWE. Like, I probably sound like a broken record at this point. It's what's best for the wrestler. I don't give a shit where they are. Whatever works best for what they want, go there. It's fine. I don't care. Do I get to still see you on TV? Cool. Do I get to still, like, buy your merch when I'm really feeling it? Cool. Do I not get to see you on TV? That's your choice? Cool. I don't like it when you get stuck in catering. Like, that's not cool. But if that's your choice to sit at home, that's cool. More power to you. Do something else if you don't, like, if you need a break. It's fine, like, I don't think wrestling fans have as short a memory as we try to believe. Like, we won't forget you when you make an impact. Sometimes it's good to go away. I'm not telling anybody to go away right now. I don't know why. ADHD. We'll say that's why this came up. Despite his winning the NXT tag titles with Baron Corbin this week, PW Insider says Bron Breakker is still set for a main roster call-up and is scheduled to be at SmackDown this Friday. That's very interesting. I wonder, maybe he pulls double duty for a while, and then him and Corbin have a feud and end up being on the main roster because
Breaker's doing too much and cost them the tag team championships. We'll just have to wait and see. I mean, you don't want to rush Braun Breaker. Sure, could he be a star right now? But, I mean, look what they did with Cody. We can talk about that more when I have more people on the show with me, so it's a better conversation. And we'll bring it up a little bit, but we'll keep going. Braun Breaker, he's going to be on SmackDown. That's a big deal for him, like, because The Rock and Roman Reigns are going to be on SmackDown. That's a big spot for him to be in. Hopefully, you know, he's scheduled to be at SmackDown. Doesn't say he's scheduled to be on SmackDown. So let's make that clear. As far as what I'm reading here, that doesn't tell me that he's going to be on TV, but maybe he'll have a little segment and we'll see where it goes. So he's got a big opportunity to be seen by a whole lot more eyes, because everybody's going to tune in to see The Rock. Regarding reports of recent budget increases and production upgrades for TNA, Fightful Select sources at Anthem tell them many were actually related to software upgrades more than anything else. The sites also heard that while they haven't changed TNA's schedule, Anthem is also looking to cut costs at TNA this year. While he was still involved with TNA prior to Scott D'Amore's firing, House of Wrestling says Anthem ex Ed Nordholm is also no longer actively working on the TNA brand. The site sources tell them Nordholm and D'Amore were very close and will combine 3 and 4. Fightful Select says Scott D'Amore's departure from TNA had been in the works for a month prior to when it was announced. D'Amore adamantly did not want to leave. Like, this sucks. Like, I mean, I know it's business, and I don't know what they're doing. I can't even guess as far as what the higher-ups at Anthem are thinking right now and where they're going to go with this. I don't know. I do know one thing, that this was posted today from the full support of the TNA roster, apparently. They issued a letter to Anthem Sports and they issued a letter to Anthem, basically, to CEO Leonard Asper. Lennon Scott, TNA Impact is not just our employer and the company for which we work. It is a family that each of us has grown to love and cherish and trust with our bodies and our careers. A family for which we feel deeply and that desire, above all else, to protect. We are deeply saddened by the decision to remove Scott D'Amore from the TNA Impact family. Scott is a brilliant wrestling mind that has guided this company and has it positioned to take the next step upward in our industry. Scott is also so much more than this. He is a trusted friend, confidant, teacher, advisor, brother, and mentor to so many within the TNA Impact family. Scott has been in the heart of the TNA Impact family for over 2 decades. Len and Anthem have been instrumental in supporting and building this company back from the ground up. The contributions of Len and Anthem have never gone unnoticed by anyone in the company. We want to make sure Len knows this. TNA, simply put, would not have survived without Len and Anthem, not just financially, but with the undying faith in Scott and us to revive the company that was on the brink of death. Len and Anthem are the foundation that TNA has been able to build upon. We would not have made it back to this point without both of you. The fans know this, and the TNA family knows this. We come to you to voice our concern for TNA Impact, our family, and its future and direction. We, like you, wish to safeguard what we have all worked and sweat and bled for to build. We want TNA Impact to continue grow and to continue to be an enviable place for all professional wrestlers to work. We understand and appreciate that professional wrestling at its core is a business, and that the company must provide a fiscally responsible, financial viable product. At the same time, professional wrestling is uniquely situated. The business of professional wrestling is so much more than balance sheets, downloads, and ratings. The wrestling business is and must be its people, its characters, and its storylines. That is to say, there is no wrestling business without the wrestling creative vision and the right people bringing the creative vision to life. To thrive, a wrestling company must have both an eye toward business decisions and its fingers on the pulse of creative decisions and the ever-changing appetite of our fans. It is in light of this concern and our desire to uphold the high standards of TNA Impact that we offer this letter. It is our desire to have a dialogue with you and with the company in an effort to protect the present and the future of TNA Impact for you, for Anthem, for the fans, and for professional wrestlers. We feel strongly that a wrestling person needs to be intimately involved at a high level to ensure that the amazing company we have all built and produce we have provided to our fans continues to grow and flourish. It is our opinion that the best possible person for that role was, is, and will be Scott. We recognize that we do not necessarily know all the facts or details around the decision to remove Scott. In life, there is always the rumors, the opinions, and somewhere in between the truth. We rarely get to know which is which. It remains our hope and desire that everyone can set aside the past few days and any hurt feelings or unkind words that may have been exchanged and meet to discuss a path forward to preserve the TNA Impact family we all hold so dearly. We remain steadfast and hopeful that this letter can be a first step to opening and keeping open, productive lives of communication to ensure the TNA Impact family continues to be a wonderful, unique place to work for years to come. We ask and implore you to both We ask and implore you both to come together and create a resolution that we reunite this family once again. Sorry, that's a habit. It's a serious conversation. We look forward to hearing from you and continuing this dialogue. Signed, your TNA family. That is quite a statement from the locker room in regards to the releasing of Scott, or the firing of Scott D'Amore. Hopefully there is a dialogue and that a wrestling person can be involved, because sure, you can kind of figure it out, but you shouldn't have to. It's kind of like, you know, why work smarter, not harder? If Scott has the this kind of devotion right here, what they say about Scott D'Amore in this, you can't, that's not bought loyalty. That is earned loyalty from a man in the trenches trying to build something. So hopefully they see that. And they don't take this personal, because I'm sure some executives are probably going to tell, how dare they release a statement and add to blah, 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 blah. There's some people that I'm sure that think like that, whether they're on the border. I don't know anyone on Anthem. I don't know if they're bad people. I don't know. I'm just saying, I could see a situation where there's someone on board. Oh, I can't believe they would do that. Because someone released it. I don't know if it's public. I mean, it's a publicly traded company, so probably they have to release this. This stuff just comes out, but I don't know how that works either, because I've never been in that situation. So hopefully they can have a resolution. Maybe Scott can get his job back. If he wants, he desperately didn't want to leave, according to reports. So, because I can't say that I talked to the guy. I'd love to talk to the guy, but, you know, we're still a small indie podcast, part of the Bruiser Nation Podcast Network, a division of Snap Merrick Productions. Don't forget to check out Heel and Face and Loss of Down wherever you get your favorite podcast, because we try to be a podcasting network for everybody. And, you know, football and wrestling tend to overlap a lot. And, you know, we always love to produce some kind of content from time to time. Overall, by Snapmare Productions. We're all one big, happy, eight-person family. It's fantastic. We got this. It's fine. Number five, The Rock is expected to fully... I don't even know what I was trying to do. The Rock is expected to fully embrace his heel turn. According to WrestleVotes, his character will be inspired by his 2003 Hollywood Rock run. WrestleVotes has also heard that there will be Rock-branded Cody Crybaby's merchandise, and close their ex post with, "The story is just beginning." I'm really excited for this. Like, I don't care. I don't think this was the plan the whole time, but I don't care if it was, because this is utterly, it's captivating television with what they're doing with The Rock. And if he's smart enough to pivot like this, I feel really good about Triple H and creative and The Rock on the board about as far as where WWE is going. This is going to be, I already see it forming where it's, there's going to be a power struggle, if you will. I mean, they're never going to put like The Rock's board membership on the line or anything like that. But I see a scenario where Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce are wrestling The Rock and Roman Reigns, and if Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis win, The Rock has to go away. I could see that happening. So we can't get involved in creative decisions because Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis are Triple H guys. Obviously, they've already set a hierarchy. Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins have always been Triple H guys. It's a really nice way to have a nice turn in this. Let's go ahead. We'll continue that conversation right after we listen to Seth and Cody. You know what? We're not going to listen to Seth and Cody because I forgot to cut it. So there'd be a lot of air and everything else. So we're not going to talk about Seth and Cody. It's fine. But we'll talk about it, but we're not going to listen to it. Seth Rollins has offered his friendship to Cody Rhodes over this whole situation between Roman Reigns and The Rock and Cody Rhodes. I am all here for it. Like, that was the most passionate promo I've heard from Seth Rollins in a long time. Like, I really think he needs to keep the goofball Joker shit. Like, I think it's funny, but there's a time and a place for it, and I think he needs to phase it out, like, combine it with what he's doing now. Like, he's gonna, the best Seth Rollins is a focused and pissed off Seth Rollins. So I'm real excited where this is going. I love that The Rock is turning heel. He just went right into the skid, whether the skid was planned or not. I don't care. He went right into it like, fuck it. It's fine. We're going to go with it. And I am ready for the ride. WrestleMania is going to be great. People are going to be doing double duty. I see Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes main eventing WrestleMania night one versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. Say what you will, whether the world title should be the main event, whether Bayley should get the main event. I mean, if you're going to have The Rock involved, he's got a main event one night, and I don't want a main event for the title. I wouldn't mind Seth and Cody wrestling Roman and The Rock for either banning people from ringside or a special stipulation with a cage match where you can only win by pinfall or submission, where it is lowered like the Hell in a Cell, but unlike the Hell in a Cell, it doesn't wrap all the way around and there's no door. You don't need a door. Like, that way we get like a surefire decisive winner. And there's ways to set the cage up to where people could sneak in if you wanted, but that's neither here nor there. I see there's a lot of good shit going into this WrestleMania. I'm really looking forward to it. I cannot wait to see where they go with. I mean, I'm invested. I can't wait to watch SmackDown. I'm invested in both wrestling companies right now. And sure, the qualifying match has been fantastic, but you know, my teeth are sunk in with Swerve Strickland's story and Cody Rhodes' story right now. There are other stories going on that are good, but these are and a vast majority of people are invested in the same ones because they're good and they're telling them differently. AEW does more in-ring storytelling, and that's how you get there with the promos mixed in. We just listened to Swerve and Joe and Hangman Page have like a 15-minute segment. So this whole WrestleMania season is wild on both ends of the spectrum. This very well may be the biggest WrestleMania ever because of who The Rock is. Like, he's the biggest star in the world, and he's involved, and it's going to be great. I'm real excited. Isn't Perth Saturday? Or is it a week? No, it's a week from Saturday, right? I hope so. It's real early. It'll be all right. I don't mind. I'm going to get up. I'm going to watch it because I'm not going to bitch about it. I just have a lot to do on this Saturday. Well, Buckle Brigade, we'll run through Raw. We won't really review it. I mean, I'm getting a little bit long in the tooth already. We talked about Cody and Seth Rollins forming the alliance with The Rock and Roman Reigns. Jey Uso in the New Day defeated Imperium. I thought that was one hell of a match. Jey Uso is still the fans are still behind him. I think a good way to continue to build him is to be the guy that beats Gunther and have a little intercontinental title run. I'd be all right with that. Bobby Lashley defeated Big Bronson Reed, one of those Elimination Chamber qualifying matches that I was talking about. Dude, I like Big Bronson Reed a lot. Like, I love Bobby Lashley. Like, he's fucking, who doesn't love Bobby Lashley? But, like, Big Bronson Reed is really starting to show out. I hope they find something for him to do. I mean, either in Perth or at WrestleMania in and of itself. We'll just have to wait and see. I'd hate to see him sitting on the sidelines. They got something special with him. Liv Morgan defeated Zoe Stark to qualify for the Elimination Chamber. I thought this was a really good match. I've always been impressed with Zoe Stark. I love me some Liv Morgan. Who doesn't? So I'm curious to see where they go with this and who wins. There's a lot of people picking Becky Lynch to win this, and I don't know. I feel like Becky and Nia Jax finished their feud at WrestleMania. I don't know who wrestles Rhea yet. Maybe Liv Morgan, because there is a story there. She hurt in storyline. She hurt Liv Morgan. So I mean, there's a story there, and the underdog taking the championship away from Mami would be something else. I just think there's more to this story to be told about Becky Lynch and Nia Jax to just assume that it's going to be Becky walking out of the chamber with the shot at Rhea Ripley. Which, by the way, Jesus, Becky Lynch's promo was some of her best work, too. Because they brought, like, real world, like, I believe what they were saying. I always believe what Becky says. But, man, bringing up the conversations, you know, age-appropriate conversations with her child about what she looks like and gets hit. Why she has marks and bruises and this, that, the other. I mean, that's a real thing that we as fans don't really think about. These guys have to go back home. Their kids don't all watch wrestling. They gotta go do other stuff. I mean, that goes for the indie guys, too. I mean, they got to take a beating, get bruised, and go to work and explain that. That's fun. J.D. McDonagh defeated R-Truth. DIY saved R-Truth from the Judgment Day whooping his ass. That was a weird direction. I think they booked something like a six-man tag next week or an eight-man tag maybe. It's an eight-man tag because maybe Miz will be there. I still see this being the Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day for the tag titles at WrestleMania, which wouldn't be a terrible thing. L.I. Knight qualified for the Elimination Chamber. I'm surprised by this. Not that I think Ibar should have beat LA Knight, but I'm surprised because didn't LA Knight cost AJ Styles a shot in the Elimination Chamber on Friday? Like, I would have had AJ Styles cost LA Knight. Maybe there's more to be seen. Maybe AJ Styles jumps LA Knight and they have a feud that goes to WrestleMania, but they can't wrestle each Elimination Chamber because LNA gets hurt or whatever. I don't know. Shinsuke and Nakamura defeated Sami Zayn. That was a good solid matchup. I don't know. I wasn't feeling like the Kinshasas. They just seemed off to me. I love where they're going with Sami Zayn. I like to see him still involved. Maybe he gets a last chance matchup to get in the chamber. Who knows? But Cody Rhodes comes out just like he said he would in a backstage with Sami Zayn. You had my back, I got yours. Save Sami Zayn from getting the beat down from Drew McIntyre and Shinsuke Nakamura. All in all, pretty good piece of business. Enjoyable Raw. Raw runs late for me, so I finished it, Tuesday? But it's fine. I enjoyed Raw. That's the point. I watched it till about 10. Went to bed. Went to work the next day. And came home and watched it. So that can tell you, right? Sure, I would have watched it anyway for the show, but I was excited to watch. I was like, ooh, I got to finish Raw. Like, not like, damn it, I got to finish Raw real quick. But it was more like, oh, man, I got to see what else happened. Because you can read results and stuff, but you want my real opinion, what I really feel. You don't want me influenced by other writers. Speaking of influence, hopefully I may have influenced one or two or three or a dozen people to come out to Malabar School Gymnasium in Mansfield, Ohio this Saturday, February 17th for Saturday Night Slam. We got a tag team title match. We have Asylum versus Beastman for the heavyweight championship. We have Axel Fury taking on GQ Status. a little bit of grudge match. Axel Fury is no longer in the status symbols. The status symbols try to wrench the tag team championships away from the new champions, the Living Nightmare, Jimmy Lee and JJ DeVille. Madman Fulton versus Manson Crane in an Extreme Rules straitjacket match. It's going to be wild. Hope to see you guys out there. We are going to check out for the week. Once again, follow, like, subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcast. Tell your pro wrestling friends about us. Reach out at bucklebrigade@gmail.com throughout the week. Give us your wrestling hot takes. Give us your predictions, bold predictions, whatever they are. Keep it nice. Keep it clean. We'll read them if it's fun. We're here to have fun. Like I said, let's make it to where it's like you're hanging out on the couch talking to your friends, watching some pro wrestling. If they're mean, they're nasty, they're terrible, we won't read them. We're trying to have fun here. So reach out. Predictions. Wild predictions. What you thought of shows. Who's your favorite wrestler and why? We want to hear it all from you. We'll read the emails right on the air. And to be able to do that and have the drive to do that and the energy. Are you tired of feeling sluggish and drained during the day? Are you seeking an energy boost that won't leave you with the jitters or crashes? Look no further than W Energy. Our unique ingredient, coffee fruit cherry extract, provides laser focus and fast reflex effects perfect for gamers and creators. W Energy is the superior choice with a carefully selected blend of 10 essential ingredients for focus and concentration, including important amino acids and vitamins you won't find in regular canned energy drinks. Transparency matters to us, which is why our labels disclose full ingredient amounts and our products are free from fillers, artificial colors, and dyes. Plus, they're sugar-free, maltodextrin-free, and keto-friendly. With a variety of clean and delicious energy drinks, including flavors like Calio Cream, Push and Punch, and Galaxy Grenade, W Energy has something for everyone. Don't just take our word for it. W Energy is even mom-approved as America's tastiest gaming energy drink of 2023. Ready to level up your energy? Check out our products on the W Energy website and join the community of those striving to improve. We have a link to their website right there in the episode description. Check out W. If you choose to spend your hard-earned money, go ahead and use the code BUCKLE. Get 10% off, and that savings, your savings gets passed on to us. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and we get a little bit. It's cool. It's fine. Check out W if you want. It's cool. If you want to purchase, just go check them out. It'll be fine. Trust me, it's good. The scent is fantastic when you first, it like smacks you in the face in a good way. Like it puts a smile on your face and you smell the flavor. It's the fruit. It's like it's right there in front of you, but it's out of a can. Anyway, we're going to leave you with another promo for, well, I guess the same promo for Saturday Night Slam. Thanks for tuning in, Buckle Brigade. Stay good, because I'm always good.
Are you ready to experience the ultimate showdown in the ring? The ASWA and Snapmare Productions bring to you ASWA Saturday Night Slam, an electrifying night of action-packed professional wrestling. Brace yourself for an epic battle between two titans that will leave you on the edge of your seats. Our main event is a battle for the ages as ASWA heavyweight champion The Mighty Asylum defends his championship against the returning Beast Man. If that excites and energizes you, I have the match for you. Are you ready for the chaos and brutality of the Extreme Rules straitjacket match between Madman Fulton and Manson Crane? Get ready to leap out of your chairs as the Nightmare Nation looks to defend their tag team championships against the former champions. The status symbols will bury Hardy's betrayal of the ASWA locker room factor into this match. That's not all, my friends. Witness the greatness of 6'9" and oh so fine Marcus Scott taking on Cody White's. Axel Fury looks for retribution after ending his partnership with the status symbol as he takes on GQ status. Colton Quinn looks to climb back up the ranks as he takes on Sean Blaze, and Kenny Hendricks looks to show Aaron Black what a true pro's pro is. Take advantage of this wild night of pro wrestling on Saturday, February 17th at the Malabar School Gymnasium in Mansfield, Ohio, presented by the ASWA and Snapmare Productions.
Losing track of the knobs here, sorry. sometimes I gotta. Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who matches up in front of you?
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Mr. Samoa Joe?
Stop talking to me a second. Put the jack in jackassery.
Shopping cart down a hill.
I'll do it.
I see it
now. I'll do it for free.
I see it now. I certainly hope so, because I don't have the money to pay you for it.
Well, I mean, you could slide me a buck.
I could.
You cheap bastard. It's like SpongeBob meets Mr. Krabs over here.
Get back and forth places.
I have a disability, I would hope. Aren't you my friend, or aren't you?
I don't want to ignore our dozen of fans. That would be terrible.
Our dozen of fans. I like it. We are humble.
It means let's make
no worries exact
for
the rest of your days.
Burner barrel.
It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.